So today's sermon is going to be about a very interesting topic. It is the sermon text for this Sunday, the sixth Sunday after Easter. And it's going to be a sermon on the aspect of love. And it seems to be something that we talk a lot about love. We do. We talk a lot about love, and sometimes we have this kind of fairy tale idea of love. But love is not a fairy tale. We sometimes will treat love like it's fragile. Love is not fragile. The problem is I am. We are fragile. But when we look at love in its proper context and we understand it for what it is, that in reality it defines God, it is very powerful, it is very strong, it is very encouraging. So for our sermon text today, we're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to read from verses 9 through 17. If you are able and willing, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9, reading in Jesus' name. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abided in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Hear him. This is my commandment, he says, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but hath called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it you. These things I command unto you, that ye love one another. Amen. Please be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. Love. It's such a small word if we say it in that way. Four letters. A kind of a positive four-letter word. We often say four-letter words are bad. But this one is a very powerful one. And last night, and actually during the week when I was studying and I was going through this text, it was very profound to me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. How has the Father loved him? He held nothing back from him. Everything was given over to him. He was given full, in reality, command. Reading out of 1 John, a very, very powerful statement that is made. And we have this mentality sometimes, or you can see it throughout the churches, where people wax nostalgic and like to get conservative or legalistic, and they'd like to turn around and say, love, love, love. That's all I hear about is love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what I cling to. I cling to the aspect that God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Love, in reality, depicts who God is. He loved us so much that he did not want to watch us, if we could say, waste away, but rather sent a remedy, a balm for each and every one of us. We can look around the world and we can see issues and struggles. We can look around the world and see people struggling in certain areas, and we can try to bring them into judgment. But God loved them so much, and he loves you so much. You. That he sent his only begotten Son. I read a statement in 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8. A very powerful, powerful statement. One that should not be taken lightly. John says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. So yeah, when we turn it into a Hallmark card, when we turn it into something that is quite lofty and cute feeling, when we turn around and we make it into this fragile little flower, love can seem pretty insignificant. We like things in this life as human beings to have substance, to have strength. Sometimes we count more on our integrity as human beings or our pride than do we do actually the fundamental truth of love in our lives. What motivates you? What motivates you even as a mother or as a father to do for your children? Is it not love? Oftentimes I as a human being can be moved by pride. But pride is an interesting thing. When I'm moved by pride, I am also governed by that pride. And when an individual doesn't do what I want them to do because of my pride, I often distance myself from them. But what keeps us? What keeps us sure to the individual? Let's say our children. When they do things that maybe are not in our pride approval, what keeps us joined to them? It is that love. That love that we have for them is very powerful. We turn around and we look at this and we talk about this love as some sort of fragile flower, but where is the substance of it? Where does it come from? And I think our text very much opens up that way. He says, "For as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." In other words, He's withheld nothing from us. Continue now in this love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You will find this favor. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. Jesus Christ was obedient. Obedient even to the death of the cross for each and every one of us. And why? Why did he take his place upon that cross? Why did he give up his life in reality for all of us? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he loved us. He had this desire for each and every one of us to remain with him for eternity. Do you think that you have significance in this world? You do. There are a lot of people in this world that would like to tell you, oh, humbug, it's a bunch of hooey, you know? Get rid of it. You don't have any real substance in this world unless you make it yourself. God has poured it out upon you in the form of Jesus Christ. He has seen in reality what he has created, and he has called his creation good. Yes, it has fallen. It has fallen because of the sin of this world. It has fallen by the first parents and their sin. There's no doubt about it. But we are not left there. We are not left in these dire straits. Our God desired for restoration so greatly, he invested in each and every one of us. Do we walk around as someone that is so sad and so laden down with sin that we can't even see the sunshine? Or do we stand victoriously in the greatest work that was ever done upon this earth? In the redemption of humankind. Okay, maybe I'm a little nuts. Maybe I get passionate about this. But the fact of it is this very thing that I cling to. Because I understand who I am left to my own devices. I understand the struggles in my own life. I don't need to look at your life. Though I do want to, I want to help you with your burden. I want to encourage you. But what I'm saying in this is that I don't need to look beyond me to see struggle, to see difficulty. But I also do look beyond me in the victorious work of Jesus Christ, that we may move forward and be encouraged and be united in one body, a perfect, righteous body that is without blemish and without spot. I am encouraged by the prophets of old. I am encouraged by the apostles themselves. I am encouraged by the forefathers, who in reality echoes the words of John the Baptist and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world." This is what we are encouraged. This is love. It's not a fragile flower. This love is so deep, in reality, is the roots of the very branches themselves. And this is the love that we are grafted into. This is the love in reality that we move forward through this world and through its difficulty with each and every day. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. He says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. He says, and I'm speaking this to you. I'm speaking this to you so that you won't walk around with a sour face. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are Christians. We are Christians, and we are saved by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We have a hope that is greater than this whole world. Even if our own heart condemns us, the Scripture says, He is greater, greater than our heart. Do we live in that victory? Or is this just a show? Do we come here and do we, as brother said, truly worship and understand what we sing to God is praise? Do we come here in reality and leave here hopeful and encouraged that we may face another week? That we may get up tomorrow morning on a Monday, though the bills may be piling up, though the diseases are out there, though the struggles are going on, though we don't know what the government is doing, do we live encouraged because God is on our side? If He before us, who can be against us? Do we remember these things? I need to. You need to. Jesus says to us, and this is not some pastor. This is not just some guy standing by in a pulpit in a nice suit so he looks like he's an Amway salesman. This in reality is the words of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who went to the cross for you. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that what? My joy might remain in you. We are Christians. Do we have this joy? We are Christians. Are we a light to this world, or do we hide our light under a bushel? We are Christians. Do we encourage the brethren? We are Christians. Do we enter into this world? And I'm not saying become a Bible thumper. And I'm not talking about some charismatic thing that I can take into my own hands. Do we live the testimony of Jesus Christ in this world? He says, I have spoken these things to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may remain full. Do you have joy this day? Do you have joy in knowing, yes, the simple reality that your sin debt is forgiven? Do you have joy in knowing that by the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are seated in heavenly places? Do you have the joy of understanding that no matter what this world may throw at you, that prize cannot be taken away from you by this world? And if you don't have that joy, then I have to ask, do you know your Savior? Because in reality, He is the peace that passes all understanding. Do you know in reality that we were born altogether in sinfulness by this flesh, that we inherited this sin, that we didn't even have to work for it, that it came naturally to us? But do you know more than that, that God saw this plight and He desired for you to have restoration? He desired for you to be encouraged. And so therefore He sent His only begotten Son into this world. And He came upon this earth even in the physical form for 3+ years. And He encouraged, 3+ years in ministry, 33+ years in life. But the fact of it is, He encouraged, He strengthened, He showed in reality all that the power of the kingdom of God can do, even in the physical aspect. We saw Him victorious over diseases. We saw Him victorious over hunger. We saw Him victorious over any of the elements of this world. And that's just a glimpse of whom we serve. Do we see a mighty and a victorious God who comes here and encourages and strengthens and provides but also speaks with the lame man? Do we see the one that speaks with the adulterous woman? Do we see the personal God that we have, that even meets a mighty individual as Saul very personally, and brings to him in reality a conversion that is so powerful that he becomes one of the most powerful preachers upon this earth? Do we see a God that does not separate himself from his people, but comes and dwells amongst them, lays down his life for them, and washes away each and every sinful deed that we have ever done and will do? This is our God. He came in reality to bring us joy, and that this joy would remain in us, and that we would be full of this joy. And he comes down to this point of explaining what his purpose is. He says, "The greater love has no man than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." Isn't that true? It's an amazing thing. He says, "There is no greater gift. When one is spared, because another will actually take the place." And this is what Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us. He says very personally to you, "Jesse, I have loved you so much that I have come and I have taken your place for the penalty of your sin. Jesse, for the infidelity of your mind. Jesse, for your issues of abuse. Jesse, for your lying, your stealing, and your cheating. And Jesse, for your doubt and your fear. He has taken it all. That I would not be remaining in that scary, sad situation, but that I, and when you hear my name, please, put your name in there. I don't care if your name is Fred, John, Alice, Rebecca, whatever it may be. Put your name in there, because this is your God." He says, "Rutabaga, I don't care whose kid you are. I have come here to lay down my life in your behalf, that you may have life and have it eternal, that you may go in and out and you will find green pastures. I have brought you to the still waters. I have brought you in reality to truly living." Because the ultimate thing that we fear in this world is death. And when you fear death, you never live. You never truly live. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are founded in His great work, when we are founded in the foundation of Christ, we have no fear of death. Yes, our flesh may wane with it. Yes, we may have struggles in the mental psyche of it. But our heart and our soul are living victorious in that complete work, because we know greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And we are encouraged. He says, no one can understand this all the better. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends." And now he's going to tell them, "And you're my friends, if you do what I've commanded you." And we love to turn around. We love to make all these great commands on people, don't we? We are no different than the rabbis. We are no different when we come up with our own rabbinical law. When they came up with hundreds and hundreds past what God has commanded throughout the scripture, they had a law and observance for everything. We are no different. We become a law in reality to people, telling them how to cut their hair, curl their hair, what to drive, how to do it, what to do. But this in reality is the commandment. It's not about adiaphora. It's not about all the external things. It's about this aspect right here. "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you." He says, now, what is the thing I command? I have to skip for a minute right down to 17. "These things I command of you, that you love one another." Do we love? Do we understand first and foremost that we have been loved by God so greatly, He has spared nothing from us. He has given us His only begotten Son, not by merit, not by deed of me, a pure motivation of the strength of love. Love is not weak. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, he says, I am a noisy gong or sounding cymbal. A lot of noise, but no real production. If I have all the great prophetic powers and understanding of the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, because remember, even Jesus says, faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. But have not love, I am nothing. Do we hear too much about love? If I give away everything that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned as some great sacrifice, but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. So think about this when you hear these now. Is love really weak? Is it really fragile? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irrational or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rather rejoices in truth. Is love weak? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. What has made your marriage last? Love. What has allowed you to get through this life, though people have disappointed you? Love. Love never ends. Prophecies will end. They will pass away. Tongues will cease. As for knowledge, it's going to pass away. Everything we think we're so smart in, it all goes away. For we know in part what we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, all the impartial will pass away. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought of a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish things. He says, for we know, we see in this mirror darkly. In other words, we don't understand who we truly are yet because we still live in this flesh. He says, but when we are face to face, what I know in part, I will fully know, as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. Of these three things, the greatest is love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we people of integrity? Are we people of our own pride? Or are people of love? We are called to enter out into this world, to encourage this world, to love this world, just as Christ has loved each and every one of us. And put yourself there for a moment at the cross scene. Give me one person that raised their hand and said, you know what? This Jesus guy, we should really let him down. We should let him down. Because what's he guilty of? Seriously, dude, what's he guilty of? He fed the thousands. He healed the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave speech to the dumb. He in reality brought restoration to people that were ostracized because of diseases. This is what he has done. Not one person stood up, and not even me. If I was able to be at the cross scene in my flesh and in my understanding, left to my own devices, I would have said, give me Barabbas. Give me Barabbas. But God loved us. And in that love, and through that love, He in reality brought salvation objectively throughout this whole world. Whether you like it or not, God has poured out His grace upon this world. Now we as ambassadors of Christ are out there to represent this and to show this love. So that subjectively, people can hear and believe. So what do we represent? Love or the pride of men? Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. Because remember how he opened. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I don't call you servants anymore. He says, because to tell you the truth, he says the servant doesn't know what the Lord does. The servant is not privy to that information because they're a servant. He says, but I have kept nothing from you. Nothing. See, and this is another great calling to the church. We spend so much time, if you look around in the religions of men or religion of the world, spending time with soothsayers and doomsdayers and all these other things, trying to figure out the end times theologies and all this other stuff and great prophecy. You heard what Corinthians says about great prophecies. Without love, they're nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus says, I have kept nothing from you. Is he a liar? What we need to know has been exposed to each and every one of us. And we don't need to be running around writing books and making money off of the church. For God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Preach the gospel. Stop diddling around in other stuff. Stop trying to make a theology out of all kinds of other gobbledygook. And enter into this world with the mighty, life-saving, changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And proclaim Him. That they may hear. In hearing they may believe. And have eternal life. For our God is so good. And Jesus says, don't think that it was by your ability or what you have done. Understand who you are, very personally, each and every one of us. God has chosen us. We are of all people most blessed. May we continue, as he says, in his commandment and love one another. I think it's so amazing. He brings it beyond the call. We love to stand up and we love to say, well, God just tells us really the great commandments here are love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus calls us even to a greater calling than that. In this very text that we read, he says, love one another as I have loved you. What did Christ withhold from you? Nothing. He loved you to the very end. He served you to the very end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called also to do the same. May we love in word and in deed, for Jesus' name's sake.